because this was my camp, was my eighth grade year, after my eighth grade year, and I dedicated my life to Christ right over there, and we just called it the dining hall back then. I dedicated my life to Christ, and I had no idea that God would call me to be a pastor's wife, but that's what he did, and I'm so grateful for that. So it's kind of like I've come, it's like a full circle, so it's really special to me. I want you to know I've already been very spoiled and blessed by your conference committee, and I just want to say to them, well done, well done. I have been thoroughly impressed with the work and the service that has been poured into this weekend for all of you. So if you get an opportunity, I would highly encourage you to seek some of them out and let them know what a great job that they have done. The only thing I have it to compare to is Ohio, and that's where I am at now, and you girls got a good deal going on here, let me just tell you. You really, really do. I mean, we have Amish country out there. That's where our ladies go for their state retreat. And so it is a beautiful place full of great shopping. You can come. I'll take you there anytime you want. But this is something that is really, truly special, and you guys are all very, very blessed. So my personal story on prayer, we'll just kind of jump right in. My personal story on prayer is I had a great example in my dad. My dad went to Faith Baptist Bible College. He graduated from there, and he never felt called into full-time ministry. He worked at the post office in downtown Des Moines, and he would work all night. And I have this faithful memory of my dad every time in the afternoon when I would come home from school. He would be sitting there with a Bible on his lap and praying. And I had that faithful example all the way growing up, which I'm very grateful for. When I was growing up also, my parents required that my sister and I have daily devotions. And I turned into my mother, and so now I do the same. They have to be in God's Word before they go to school every day. And part of that was kind of my beginning of growing in this discipline of prayer. As I got older and went off to college, I finally started making that list, you know, the proverbial prayer list. And then it came into notebook form. And, you know, you keep track of how the answers come in and how God answers those prayers. And so I kind of have grown, you know, through the years and all of that. So I just kind of want to give you an idea of what I do. And I really want to, though, first of all, hear from all of you throughout this weekend. And I would like to put down a list of all the different maybe things that you've learned about prayer or things that you have tried in your prayer life that have really worked for you or given you a kick in the pants to maybe do more praying in your life. Because I think that in this room, there's probably a lot of different great ideas for that. And so I'd really love to hear from all of you. But I'm a list girl. So actually, in my devotional book, after I have my time with the Lord, I have a list that's kind of grown of specifics for my family, specifics for people in my life that I love, and I put those down in that book. So after my time with the Lord, I pray through that list. But then and it was good that I had to do this because I finally took out of my notebook, I have a 15-minute drive on my way. I'm a secretary for my husband at our church, and I have a 15-minute drive to Niles and back every day. And so I have a list, and I'm sure my list looks very similar to many of yours. It kind of follows that acrostic of Acts, right? We start with adoration for A, C is confession, T is thanksgiving, and S for supplication. And so that's kind of how my list works. And I've listed some of my favorite attributes of the Lord that I praise him for, one each day. At time of confession, of course, and thanksgiving. And then you might think that this whole list is then about my husband. It's not. But he does have a line item here. You know, it's pretty good. This thicker section is for my kids. You know, I don't know, as your mom, that list tends to keep growing. You know, it's like, ew, they need some self-control. Let's add that to the list. They are lazy, hard workers. They need to be hard workers. So my list has grown for my children over the years, and then I have some specific things for each of them as well. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I like to pray for my personal family, my side of the family. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I pray for the other side of the family. Then we've been really blessed. I was a youth pastor's wife for 12 years, and we actually were able to see a lot of our young people go into full-time ministry, so I pray for them. Some of them are in this great state of yours. Greg and Carrie Gosnell, and Carrie was one of ours, and Stephanie Nyhart, she's one of ours. So anyway, I get to pray for them every day, and then, of course, for myself, which is a rather long, lengthy list as well. And then I have some of those prayer requests that have been on that paper, and I'm sure it's on yours too, of maybe people that you've wanted God to save in your life that have just been on that list for a long time. Some of them have been on there for a good 10 or plus years, you know, that we've persistently been praying for. My newest thing that I want to encourage you with, a new idea on prayer, is that famous passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You can all say it with me. Pray without ceasing. And I've been learning a lot about this, and probably for the last 6 months or so, I've been really trying to do this really faithfully. So I don't know if any of you have this situation going on in your life, but your brain as a woman, it just never stops. I mean, the guys don't believe it. They have no idea what it's like, but your brain is just constantly, constantly going, going, going. And so that has been true in my life. So anytime a fear, a worry, a complaint, I need help, okay? I just prayed one of those prayers in the bathroom. I need help. I really need help coming out here. That we are to go to this almighty, all-powerful, all-in-control God who wants me to ask him for help. And when we ask him for help all day, I'm telling you what, he answers prayer all day long in your life. So I promise you, if you actually pray without ceasing, now this isn't like get on your hands and knees and pray. A lot of times it doesn't even include dear Heavenly Father. It just is, Lord, I need some help here. Lord, change my attitude here. Lord, I don't know what to do. I need to get all this stuff done. I need your help. It's just a simple little prayer. But when we pray that constantly throughout the day, you will see God blow it up as far as answering prayer. He provides us with peace and comfort, direction. He can change my heart. He can change my kids' hearts. Praise Jesus. He can give me a wise idea really quickly in my mind, which is great. I promise you, if you do this, you'll really see God work. If you would please go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7. And yes, it is the famous passage on prayer. And we're going to go through just three things. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. And we're going to look at that there in Matthew 7:7-8. The parallel passage, we're going to refer to this many times through this session, is in Luke 11. So maybe you want to put both fingers in both places. But Matthew 7:7-8, follow along with me. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, there's a promise. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So the first one we're going to look at is ask. God gives us this very, very simple command. He just says, ask. It's the bare minimum. You know, he doesn't say that we need to go and do this many things or climb this many stairs or only be in heaven or say this certain prayer. He just says to ask, just to ask him. So our great and almighty and all-powerful God who controls everything says just ask, and yet we don't. We think that it would be much better to worry about it because that will really help, right? Or we would rather get an ulcer because that would really help, right? It's okay. You can laugh. I promise it's good. Help me out. We would rather drive our friends nuts with our problems than to ask God. Instead of the phrase, just do it, that we see on all those Nike shirts, it should just say, just ask. Just ask. It's really like a child with a parent, right? Oh my, children, they never stop asking, right? They're always asking. And it is the same relationship that we see in God's word. We are the child, and he is our heavenly father. And he just says, stinking women, ask. Just ask me. Asking has to be a discipline. We have to do it every day. We have to do it when we're worrying or fearing. We have to go to God first. I am a newer teenage mother. You can pray for me about that, let me tell you. And as a teenage mom, I need to be praying a lot that God would help me. Really help me. Really help me, because I've been really impressed with that lately, that even though I would really like it to blame it all on them, they may just be following my bad example. Don't like that one. You must make a list. If you do not have a list, this is the weekend you are making a list, okay? You're not making a grocery list. You are making a list of people that you care about, that you want to pray for, a list of requests that you should be praying for. And I don't think I can keep my mind straight without a list before me. Because as soon as I start praying, it goes something like this. Dear Heavenly Father, please help my son. Please help him to live for you. And doggone it, he didn't make his bed today. And I am going to get after him about that when he gets home from school. And right away, I'm off on this rabbit trail, right? I'm totally off. And I'm not focused. So a list really helps me, and I hope it will help you too. I used to think that to be a great woman of prayer, you had to spend hours and hours in prayer. And obviously, we would all love to do that. But I was really encouraged by this older lady in our church. Her name is Midge. And Midge said, you know, everyone has a different season of life that they're in. And she goes, during this season of life, you give God everything that you can give him. But then she goes, right now in my season of life, I can spend hours praying to the Lord. And she goes, and I am praying for you. And what an encouragement that is to me. I love the fact that David is such a great example in God's word, because he really used all kinds of different language, right? He used praise language, and he used, bring down those stinking wicked people. They need to be destroyed. And he had all kinds of emotion in his prayer, but he just said what was on his heart. And I think that is great for every woman in here, right? And that's how we should pray. You know, we don't need a whole bunch of flowery words. We just need to talk and ask our Heavenly Father. And ask for anything. It's commanded, actually, to ask for anything. In fact, my mom used to say, it never hurts to ask, right? It never hurts to ask. My first resort in time of trouble shouldn't be picking up my phone and calling whoever, my friend. It shouldn't be Googling for the answer, okay? It shouldn't be worrying and fearing or crying. It shouldn't be resorting to that addiction, whatever that might be. It's just we're supposed to ask. There's a promise. This part has been a really big thing in my life. In the idea of asking in time of trouble. So on June 20th, I got a call from my dad at 8:03 in the morning that he couldn't wake up my mom. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you all this now so we can kind of move on from here, okay? So my mom, she wasn't on any medication, and she didn't seem to have any physical issues whatsoever. She always seemed as strong as an ox. But my mom went home to heaven on June 20th. And I have never been in as dark of a place as that. So I've had to put in my book that to ask that God would fill my heart with joy again. Because I felt like that commercial on TV where the stick person is walking around with the black cloud over his head. That's the way I felt. I've never been depressed. I don't like to be depressed. I don't like that feeling. Nobody does. But that's what I was feeling and overwhelmed with. And I've asked the Lord to help me fill my heart with joy. Please, Lord, fill my heart with joy again. Obviously, that doesn't mean you don't cry anymore, right? All right, I will cry. I can just cry at a drop of a hat. But it means that God, I will tell you, I'm a personal example that God has filled my heart with joy again. He really, really has. So ask him for help. He is there to give that to us. In Ephesians 3:20, he gives a great promise. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I don't think that we ask big enough sometimes. We make God really, really small, and we want him to answer just this level. If you would just do this, I would be pretty satisfied, right? When God wants to give us this, I think one of those things we're going to find out maybe in heaven someday is what we maybe what we didn't get. I don't know. And ask for things that make you more like Jesus. I definitely need to have better reactions to my husband and my kids. I fail miserably at that all the time. Do you know, though, when you ask the Lord for help, he will give it to you? And so he wants me to ask that I would become more like him. He wants me to do that. And so I need to ask him to do that. So number one was ask. Number two is seek. Seek. So I live in gyms a lot because my kids are in sports. And, you know, I'm sure many of you have done the same where maybe you're a grandma and you're sitting next to that kiddo at a game. And what do? Can I have some candy? Can I just have some one candy? And they will not give up. They are actively seeking for candy. And they will do whatever it takes to get the candy. Even Dave and I have resorted to leaving the gym for a while. Let's escape the child. I will go in the hallway. The child will follow you to get the candy. That's what they will do. They are seeking. And that's exactly what this passage is talking about. Seeking. To seek means to pray often. Often. Seeking involves persistent prayer. In James 2:26, it says that faith without works is dead. So seeking requires that we pray with faith. There's a Christian song out there right now that says, it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. And right now, a little faith is all I have. And it does. God promises in his word that he just needs the size of a mustard seed, okay, of faith. And he can take that and he can multiply that. But that requires that persistent faith. So to take that kind of to the next step, that it means, seeking means to add works to our faith. It's not that we're just supposed to sit at home and pray. I'll pray every day. I will pray and pray and pray. But I'm not really seeking because I'm not putting any action behind that. So I'll give you a couple examples. So let's say you need a new job. You can't just sit at home and pray for a new job, right? You pray and then you go out there and you apply for a job, right? That's how it has to work. You can't just pray that relationship that has been strained, whether it was because of you or her, you or him, you or them. It's not just praying and asking God, Lord, I really need this relationship to be repaired. It's going and actually putting some action behind that and asking for forgiveness, seeking reconciliation with that person. Seeking means that when we pray for someone to get saved, we can't just pray for them to get saved. We actually have to go and tell them about our relationship with Christ and what God has done in our life so that they can come to know Christ as their Savior. So it's not just sitting at home and praying. We have to actually seek that out in a greater way, which is putting a little action behind our faith. And the last one I want to touch on seeking is seeking God's plan and his will. So 7 years ago, we were first of all, we were in Elyria, Ohio as youth pastor and wife for 12 years. And then God called us to a solo pastor ministry in Niles, Ohio. And we've been there for 7. So when God calls us to move, you know, you put the house on the market. And of course, we had only lived in our house for 4 years. And we bought it when the housing market was up here. And then we were trying to sell it when the housing market went down here, okay? And so we are struggling to try to sell this house. So for a whole year, we are renting and we are trying to figure out why God is not selling our house. I mean, we were doing God's will. He wanted us to move to Niles, Ohio. So why wasn't he selling the house? Come on, sell this thing already. You know those Odels, those people, you know, y'all love, some of you know from faith. You know, they did that disgusting thing of like saying, okay, we'll go to Elyria, Ohio. And then they moved and they sold their house in like, you know, 0.5 days. And I mean, I was doing the same thing, you know, and mine is still not sold. So I asked the Lord, I was like, we are doing your will, okay, by moving over here. So we had it with the realtor. And then I was like, we're going to lose way too much money on this house. So we have to get it out from the realtor. So we got it out from the realtor. So then I'm driving on Sunday. It's only an hour and a half. So I would drive back and I would do an open house and I would sit in a lawn chair in my living room. Nobody came. I'm telling you, for weeks I went back and forth. I'm a pastor's wife, so I have to be back to church on time. So I go back to church, you know. I would drive those 3 hours every Sunday. Not one person would come to the open house. And I was really like, Lord, I do not know what you're doing here, okay? This just does not make sense. So I said to the Lord, I really did, I said this. I was like, if you're not going to sell it, can you just tell me why? I just want to know why. I mean, I don't get it. See, it doesn't make sense. This and this doesn't make sense. He told me why. He was right. I was wrong. Basically, we didn't own enough of our house. So if he had sold it, we would have had to pay the bank like $10,000 to $20,000 depending on what we sold it for. And I don't know if you know this, but on a youth pastor's salary, you don't have $10,000 to $20,000 sitting in your bank account that you can pay the bank. So it's a really good thing he didn't sell the house, okay? It was a really, really good thing. So what God does when we seek the Lord is that he wants us to pray for his will. And what he does, he takes our will and he puts it together and you make his will. Last one, knock. This is, I don't know, I like pointing this out sometimes when I speak to ladies groups because I love it when something jumps out and it says, God is like, and this is for y'all women out there, okay? I'm not even from the South. This is for the women. Women, we all get this. When we want something, we knock. We know how to do this. And so I think God put this whole concept of knocking purely for us women because we're like, oh yeah, I get that. I know what you're talking about there. This is the idea of throwing your whole earnestness of your being into it. It's like persistent prayer on steroids. Knocking is, you are supposed to do it with passion. And women have tons of passion, right? We have a lot of passion. Urgent and persistent requests. We have all those young people that we were able to minister to for a long time. And now, even at Niles, we have more. And many of them, I pray for every day on this list. Because for whatever reason, God hasn't given them a mate. And I don't know why. That doesn't make sense because a lot of them are living for the Lord. They're doing what God wants them to do. They're staying faithful. They're serving in their church. They're remaining pure. They're seeking the right kind of man or woman that God would want them. And God hasn't answered that. But that takes persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. And us women, we can do that. You know, it says that David desired, he asked, he sought. he was seeking. He inquired of the Lord. He knocked. He took action. This takes persistent faith. Actually, I remember when one of my prayer requests was answered. You know, after we all went through 9/11, that whole thing that happened, and they were seeking to take out bin Laden, right? And I'll never forget it. We were in Florida on vacation, and we got done watching a movie, and the screen came up for the news was on. They took out bin Laden. I jumped off the couch. I ran to find my prayer book, and I crossed off, find bin Laden. It was, like, so cool. It was amazing. God answers persistent prayer, even down to taking out bin Laden, whatever it might be for you. Knocking is serious, and it's not for the faint-hearted. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint. It also is a pleading and a wrestling with God. It doesn't mean that we get it our way. It doesn't mean that we get it our way. It means that our will lines up with his. And I'm really glad that I didn't lose $10,000 to $20,000 because that would not have been very good. So if you look at the Luke 11 passage that many of you probably put your finger in, hopefully, Luke 11 is the other passage where Jesus talks about asking, seeking, and knocking. And in this passage, he tells that parable of the friend who came at night, and you remember it? The friend, he was knocking on the door, right? He was knocking, and he was not going to give up, and he was not going to go away. That is that bold, shameless, aggressive kind of asking. This guy, he didn't care that it was at night. I mean, really, it was nighttime. You know, wait till morning for Pete's sakes. But he didn't. He didn't care it was at night. He didn't care that his friend was in bed. All right, you better be careful if you get your girlfriend out of bed. I'm telling you right now. But he didn't care. He was going to keep on knocking, keep on knocking. He didn't even care that he was going to wake up the children. You do not wake up a sleeping baby. No, 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 no. But this guy, he did not care. He kept on knocking. He even kept knocking when his friend told him, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting out of bed. But he still did. He kept on knocking. And that's the kind of knocking that we're supposed to have. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It doesn't mean that we get exactly what we want, but we do get a couple of things. Do you see what it says there? You get mercy and grace. Mercy and grace actually solve a lot of the things that we really need in our life, that we need help with. And God actually says to come boldly. So come boldly. I don't think you should have to tell a woman twice to come boldly or to say what she really thinks, because we'll tell you. We'll tell you. Just ask my husband. I tell him all the time. Come boldly. Ask the Lord. My bold prayer request right now that I've been praying for is our church has just gone through a building remodel, and I'm sure many of you have been through one of those. It's a kind of painful process in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of growing of faith and all that happens through that time, but I'm praying that God will just pay that off. That $300,000 will just be taken care of. And for a church of 140, that's a pretty big prayer request. So, but that is my bold request right now, that I'm asking the Lord to take care of that for our church family. And then in Luke 11:13, if you see it there, right at the end of the verse, it says, how much more shall your heavenly Father, I like that more part, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So he says that he will give us the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the intercessor, the one who can take that crazy prayer of mine and make it acceptable to my Heavenly Father, the one who guides us, convicts us of our sin, gives us the fruit of the Spirit, empowers us, and fills us, that he promises to give us when we keep on knocking. So, some blessings of prayer. Here's a few. A closer relationship with your Heavenly Father. The more time that you spend with God, the more you're going to draw closer to him. You know, there's so many times I would hear young people or maybe other Christians say, oh, I just don't feel very close to the Lord right now. I don't know. Maybe because you're not asking, seeking, or knocking. Maybe because you're not spending any real quality time in prayer. That's what God wants us to do. You can have a better relationship with others. What an encouragement it is. And I've heard many of you already tell me that you've been praying for me, and I need it. I do. I really need it. And what an encouragement you can be to another sister in Christ when you say that you're going to pray for them. However, I will preface that by saying you better pray for them right then, because with this crazy brain of mine, I'm going to forget. So I better do it right then and there, or I will forget. It helps me through temptation. So when you pray, you get the blessing of God helping you through temptation. So I don't know if you're like me, but as a mother, you feel the boiling. It's coming up. It's getting stronger. Your neck is red. Your face is red. The atomic bomb is going to implode all over your children. And you can pray in that moment, ask the Lord for help, and he promises to help you with that temptation. It brings peace, peace that passes all understanding. That doesn't make any sense in this crazy world, but that's what prayer can do. It brings submission to God's will. We've talked about that. It gives wisdom, gives me the right words to say, or it tells me when I pray to keep my mouth shut. Just don't say anything. It calms my fears and worries. Us women, we are really good at that worry thing. And the older I get, for some reason, the worse I seem to get at it. But we can go to God, and when we do, he can calm our fears and worries. It helps us be thankful and content. There is only prayer can do that. Only prayer can really make a single content in their life, can make you content when you live in a cracker box house or a one-bedroom apartment, can help you through loneliness after you've lost a spouse or somebody that you love. Only prayer can help you be content, that relationship with Christ. It keeps our eyes on our Savior and not distracted by other people. It restores my relationship with God through confession. And I think probably the best thing and probably the most selfish thing is you see God do amazing things. Amazing things. So here's your action for it. Number one, make a list. If you haven't done it, you have to do it, okay? You have to do it. Be disciplined enough to spend the time and actually make that list. Do it today. Decide what days to pray for whoever or whatever. And I'm going to do this. I haven't done this yet. I wrote it down on here. But make an exceedingly abundant list. I want to do that and see what God will do. Pray without ceasing. If you haven't tried, pray without ceasing. Like legitimately every thought, everything that pops through that crazy head of yours, to pray right then and there. I challenge you to do that. You will see a ton of prayers answered. It's awesome. You know that thing that's glowing in your purse or your pocket? It's kind of rectangular shaped a little bit. Get rid of it for when you're having your time with the Lord. Like I have to leave it. We have a two-story house. I leave it in my bedroom. I leave it upstairs, and I go downstairs to have my time with the Lord. Because if I didn't, every time I'd hear the ding, I'd be like, I just need to check it. Just real quick. Just real quick. No, leave that phone. Get away from it. God deserves to have our undivided attention for that little bit of time. Make time to pray. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I'm too busy to pray. That's why I pray on my way and driving into work. I know it's probably unsafe in some ways, but I have it pretty much memorized now, the list. So, but I would say use your time wisely, you know, double task if you have to, but you have to pray. The busier we are, actually, the more we should be praying, right? The more we should be praying. And I need to get much better at this one, but asking for his will. I'm still learning that one. And remind yourself, he promises to give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. Not what we want. Be a praying woman. I promise you and challenge you that if you do, you will be blessed. You will be a blessed woman if you do that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this first session and just for the reminder of this close personal relationship that we can have with you through prayer. You know, it's really amazing that us tiny itty bitty humans can come into the presence of our Heavenly Father, and you will hear us. You promise that you will, and you will bless us for that time that we have with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would make us disciplined women women who come to you and ask, seek, and knock. And Lord, that we will see you at work all around us because we trust in you for your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.